Welcome back to Epilogues, an unpacking of the weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trapp. This week we're going to be looking at the Haftarah of Parshas Vayakel. Vayakel is, of course, a parsha which discusses the creation, the actual making of the Mishkan. And the parallel Haftarah is to be found in Melachim Aleph Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel to Chav Vav. And it is the discussion of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to hear some things which you don't hear about in the Mishkan, which are now actually in the Beis HaMikdash, very fascinating details. There are three parts to the Haftarah. The one is the description of the architect, Hiram. Number two is the two pillars, Yachin and Boaz. And then the third part is the Yam Shel Shlomo, this large mikveh which is created in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's just unpack these as we go. First, we hear how Shlomo Melech sends to Tyre. Remember, Tyre is one of the main trading ports in the Mediterranean. It's a Phoenician port. Phoenicia is one of the northern neighbors of the nation of Israel, and they have good relationships with Israel. There's a lot of trade relationships, and unfortunately, there's also a lot of assimilation, as we'll see through the course of Melachim. But we see that Shlomo Melech sends up to Tyre, to Tsar, and he asks for an artisan, and he sent back a person by the name of Hiram. It is worthwhile noting that the king of Tyre also happens to be known as Hiram, but this is not that same person. It just happens to be a name which is popular in those days. So Hiram is sent, and we're told that he is the son of a Isha Almana, a woman who is widowed from the family of Naphtali, but his father is Ish Tzori, a man of Tyre, and he has a great expertise in copper melding and working with Chochmah of the wisdom of copper work, and he comes to help Shlomo Melech. Just a few points to ponder before going further is that what was so special about him? So Rashi says, if you look at the pasuk, it describes that he has three different assets. He has Vaymole es Chochma, ves Hatvuna, ves Hadas. He's filled with these three types of wisdom, and Rashi points out, based on Psukim, that those were the three terms used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creating of the world. So he had some sort of divine spiritual knowledge, not just the fact that he had an artistic flair as well. In fact, the Radak points out that he comes from a family of artisans, as is clear that when it describes the Pasuk Aviv Ish Tzori Choresh Nechoshes, his father also was a person who worked with copper. And the Gemara learns from here, and the Radak quotes this, that we see from here that a person should stick in their family business, that, you know, if there's an expertise in the family and one has a proclivity towards it, one should continue that, because here you have a man who clearly inherited some of those assets and was able to take it forward. His apprenticeship was with his father, and he has a many intergenerational success in this as well. Now, why is he only called now? Because if you look at the actual section in Melachim Aleph, you'll notice that the Beis HaMikdash is almost complete at this point in time. Why is he only called in over here? So it could be that in Dirayamim, if you look at the order, he's actually called in at the very beginning of the process. But be it as it may, it seems that the focus here of the next, certainly two things that are being created, are things which are related to the special, unique copper smithing. And those are the Yachin of Boaz, these pillars we're about to hear about, and the Sheyam Shel Shlomo. So perhaps because we're dealing with the more intricate decor in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why he's brought in now as well. It's worthwhile noting that in Divrei Yamim Aleph Perek Beis, when it describes who Hiram is, there he's called Huram. We're told that he is Benisham Min Benois Don, that he's from the woman from the tribe of Don, and his father is from Tzor, Anish Tzori, from a person from Tyre, which is strange because in Melachim it describes him as from the tribe of Naphtali, from his mother's side, and in Divrei Yamim it describes from Dan. So how do you understand this? So Rashi explains there in Divrei Yamim that in fact there are, when it says his father was an Ish Tzori, it does not mean to say that his father, this is an intermarriage, and his father was a Phoenician from Tyre. Rather, it just means to say that he was a Jew who was living, an Israelite who was living in Tyre, but he was called Ish Tzori. He was called a Tyrian man because he lived in Tyre. But in fact, his father and mother came from different tribes, and one side came from, his mother was from Naphtali, his father was from Dan, and both sides are being emphasized here. Why do we need to know this? So Rabbi Chaim Angel makes the observation is that it seems that in Divrei HaYamim, the focus seems to be connecting him to the biblical, to the Torah description of the creation of the Mishkan. And we know that the person who created the architects of the Mishkan in Sefer Shmos in Parshas Truma and certainly in Parshas Vayakel is Achisamach, who came from Aliyav ben Achisamach Lamate Don, who came from the tribe of Don. So the emphasis over here of Don Dirayamim is to reconnect us to that biblical creation of the Mishkan, which is being replicated here in the Mikdash as well. We then hear about Yachin and Boaz. So we hear about these two incredible pillars, which are going to be on the right and the left of the door, the entrance to the base of Mikdash. And we hear about their height. I mean, just the main part of the trunk of these pillars is 18 amos, you know, 30-something feet high. And on top of each one is then a chain work area. And then on top of that, there's like a sort of flower or lily work area above that as well, for 5 amos and 4 amos. We're talking about really massive, massive pillars made out of copper. And it describes with intricate detail that the types of patterns that were on the crowns that adorned each of these pillars. What's most remarkable about them is the fact that they were given names. The one was called Yachin, and the other one was called Boaz. The right one is Yachin, the left one is called Boaz. It's worthwhile noting that Tiferes Yisrael, Rav Lifshitz, in his commentary on the Mishnah, calls his two parts of his commentary Yachin and Boaz after this as well. But Bir Zemei, one has to ask why over here and why is this so special. So the Radak says is because this was to give chizuk, this is to give strength to those who are entering the Mishkan. Yachin means preparation, Boaz means the word strength. So anybody walking into the base of Mikdash, the Kohanim serving on behalf of the nation of Israel, to have the strength to do what they needed to do right, these pillars would remind them of that as well. The Ralbag says that actually relates to the different times of day and the four quadrants of time relating to flora and fauna, and the Ralbag has a very interesting scientific explanation as to why they were called such as well. The Chidai, in his commentary Chomas Anak on the Tanakh, points out that in fact it relates to the reasons why we have a Beis HaMikdash. First, David HaMelech, who's Yachin, he prepared all the supplies. He wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he couldn't himself, but he put all the supplies for it. And then Boaz was the person who sacrificed essentially his future by going and marrying Rus in order to be able to produce the line of David that would build the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going back historically to understand the underpinnings spiritually of why we got here today. The Malbim points out on a Kabbalistic level, is very explicit about this, that the 18 amos, the 18 cubits of the height of the main trunk of these pillars was to correspond to the 18 main vertebrae in the spine, which relates to the 18 links between the higher and lower worlds, or the interlocking worlds. There's a lot of spiritual ideas that are embedded over here in the Yachin and Boaz. Finally, we hear about what's called the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam literally means a sea, so we hear about this very large container of water, which was 5 amos in height. That's about 10 feet high, and it was about 10 amos in diameter, which is about 20 feet wide. And we hear that it's got a 30 amos circumference, and it's described as sitting on 12 copper cows. These cows were facing 3 one direction, 3 to one direction, 3 to one direction, 3 the last direction, and it would be filled with water as well. Very, very powerful description of this incredible edifice. What is it supposed to be? What's the point of this? So the Mitzvah points out that this is actually a mikveh. So the Kohanim is to be supplied with natural water, spring water, and the Kohanim would be able to do tevilah here. This is not to be confused with the wash basins which were used for the Kohanim's hands and feet. This is in fact something which they would actually dip in themselves in preparation for the service. It is an interesting question, is how could it be there's an image of the bull in the sanctuary? How could they make in the Beis HaMikdash 12 bulls? The Zohar actually says, or commenting on this, is that this represents the tribes, like they were camped in the Midbar, 3333. That's the way that it was done over here. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it in this specific way, it's to represent the unity of Klal Yisrael. However, later on, it does create problems. Later on, Yerovam ben Nevat creates Eglei Zahav in trying to stop the northern kingdom from coming down to the base of Mikdash. And later on, we'll see Achaz himself, when trying to pay homage to the Assyrians, goes ahead and cuts off the top of the Yam Shel Shlomo, places on the floor, and sends them as a gift to the king of Assyria. So it has a negative ending, unfortunately. It's very risky when dealing with these kind of things. But how the dimensions work out is a big question, because it's just simply not true, Barinel points out. If you have a diameter of 10 amos, you don't have a circumference of 30 amos. You have 30 plus, because of the relationship is pi, diameter to circumference. So how does that work out? So Barinel says either you can say that it's general terms, because again, Tanakh is not giving us words which will give us decimal places, or is you can say it's measured from the inside of the circumference rather than the outside of the circumference, meaning the diameter is measured 10 amos from the internal circumference. The circumference which is 30 is the internal one, not the external one, where the diameter is measured to the outside lip of it. And we know this is a thick lip because it has to contain so much water, it's an amma in width. However, there's a very famous Vilna Gaon over here which makes the point. And if you look over here in these psukim, the one word which is a little off is the word kav, which means to say line, which is referring to the diameter. It's spelled one way and written another way. So it's said kav, kuf vav, but it's actually spelled kuf vav hey, kava. And the Vilna Gaon points out that if you take the division between the two of them, of the gematria, the numerical value of them, so that's 111 for kavod divided by 106 of kav, you get the value of 3.141509, which in fact is a pi to five, six decimal places, which means to say that the Tanakh cannot in words convey in decimal places, but it does numerically over here as well, which is really a remarkable perspective. So we see just again the replication, the expansion of the building the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash with some remarkable spiritual ideas that are implanted in it as well. With this, we conclude our Torah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.